open your Bibles, please, to Psalms number 96. Psalms number 96. And then I'm going to have you to turn back to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. And we're going to read a passage of Scripture there. But this morning, in Psalms number 96, I want us to read this psalm together responsively. And that is that I'll read a verse and then you read a verse. Now, this will be a new experience for some of us. We used to do it years ago. And I'm interested in giving prominence to the Word of God. The Bible said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And the Word of God is used by the Holy Spirit of God to bring conviction that we might be saved. It's the Word of God whereby we grow. And God's people need to give more attention in the hour we're living in to the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God. And I want us in our services to give prominence to the Word of God. And this is a psalm about worship and praise of our Lord. We come together to worship Him today. And I'll read the first verse, and then you read aloud the second verse. And so if you'll help us with that, and that as we go along, you'll get better, I'll get better at it. But look in Psalms 96. I'll read the first, you read the second, I'll read the third, you read the fourth. If you will, let's begin. In verse number 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people."
"For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary.
Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come unto His courts.
O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth.
Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established.
Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof.
Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice.
Before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Turn over in the book of Hebrews to chapter 10. And what I want to do now, I'm going to share with you from the Word of God first. We're kind of reversing our order this morning. So men, if you want to be seated during this time, Brad will come back after a little bit. But first of all, we're going to share the Word of God this morning. And we're doing it a little different this morning. Amen. And then we'll sing, and then we'll take an offering, and then we'll go home. Amen. But thank God for His Word. I want God to speak to my heart. I want to thank the Lord this morning for God speaking to Brad in that song, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of Lord. Oh, listen, thank God for that wonderful song. And last night while I was studying and going over what God was speaking to my heart, God just broke out in my heart in praise. And I began to sing that old song to myself. And to sing out loud. And I got an old Broadman hymnal, looked it up, and I couldn't find it. And I called my wife and talked to her, and she said, I was looking under the wrong heading. And she said, it's all hell the power. And thank God. And I was going to get Brad to sing that this morning before I got here, the Holy Ghost got here, and already laid it on Brad's heart. Oh, listen, thank God for that. All hail the power of Jesus' name. What a powerful name that is. In the book of Hebrews, Paul is writing to the Jewish believers. And the Jews were much about worship. As I began to think about it last night, when God called Moses and led him out and led the children of Israel out of bondage, He brought them to Sinai and He gave them the Ten Commandments, but He also gave them the instruction for the tabernacle. Of all the peoples of the earth, God called those people to assemble with Him in that tabernacle. They offered blood sacrifices and they worshiped God. The glory cloud of God set upon them. Of all the peoples of the earth, God called them together to worship him and to magnify. And worship became a way of life for them. Their worship deteriorated over the years. It got to be more man worship. It got to be the tradition of men. And they forgot the purpose, and that is to come together and to worship him and to magnify him. It was a time when they were to come into his presence, recognizing they were sinners, but he was a God of mercy and grace, and they were to honor him and worship him. And so when Paul comes to this book of Hebrews, he deals with a lot of things in regard to the church, in regard to those Christians. But I'm learning that I've not known that there, a lot of the theme of this book is along the line of worship and how they are to recognize the Lord as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world and how they were to worship him and adore him. I read our text once again from this the thoughts for this series beginning at verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. He's talking about worship. He's talking about how we are to approach him in worship. Not in an earthly tabernacle, not through an earthly temple as they had were used to. But now they worship him in spirit and in truth. They enter even into the very presence of God when they worship. Now, I want you to understand this morning, while you're seated inside of this building, you're in the very presence of God. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We've come together in that name to worship him this morning, and he's here. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that it promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, don't forget to assemble. It's important. Throughout all the Old Testament, God called his people to assemble, and they assembled there to worship, to offer sacrifices and praise. And we come together in the same vein now, in this day. We came to worship the Lord and magnify him. Thank God for our guests. Thank God for our visitors. And we invite you to worship him this morning. He's the creator of this world. Notice, if you will, what I'm talking about. As we, last week, we were talking about worship, the priority of worship. God says to them, this is the most important thing. It's the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. And so we assemble on the first day of the week. And we worship the Lord. As you begin to think about God's directive for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempted, he says to Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord God. Thou shalt worship the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind. So in him only shall thou serve. You worship and then you serve. And without worship, there's no true service, genuine service. To magnify the Lord and worship him is what we're here and what it's all about today. Go back to chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, and let's kind of pick up. Someone has defined worship in this way. It is worth-ship, worth-ship. And a while ago, Brother Brad emphasized that truth, that he's worthy of our praise. And when we come to worship, we come to worship him. Look at you, if you will, please, in chapter 1 in this book of Hebrews. And he says this in the beginning, verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake and passed to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn, bringeth in the firstborn unto the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him, Jesus. And the angels said, and of the angel he saith, who made the angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved the righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And the Lord, and thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, God would speak to my heart and the heart of all these dear friends here gathered. I pray, oh God, that Lord, you'd help us as we enter into this place to worship. Our Father's none other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us and dying for us. Thank you for saving us. And I pray now the sweet Holy Ghost of God would draw men and women, our Father, into your very presence. Oh God, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to your mercy you saved us. Oh God, please this morning, God, I pray you'd manifest yourself. Don't let a man or a woman, a boy, a girl, in the sound of my voice here in the building or in the radio audience or the internet audience die and go to hell. I pray, God, everyone will be saved, and that your people this morning would ascribe to he who is worthy, our Father, true worship, and will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this introductory verse, a chapter here in the book of Hebrews, Paul is writing and he's trying to help these Jews to understand Jesus saved you by his grace. They're going to have a tendency to slip back into the Jews' religion, back into ritualism, back into formalism. And he said, I want you to understand that it's Jesus that you're to worship. It's Jesus. And he talks about in the very beginning that he commanded the angels to worship Jesus and to adore him. He's better than the angels. He's better than our forefathers. And he's great. Look at this chapter, if you will, please. Why do we worship Jesus? Why are we to worship Jesus in the first place? In verse number 1, he said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. I want you to know, my dear friend, we worship Jesus because it's through him that God spoke to us. It's through him. Everything goes through him. You see, salvation came out of the heart of the Father and the determinate counsel of God before the foundation of the world. It came through the Son, and it was made real to us through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when we worship him, it goes back through the Spirit, back through the Son, and back to the Father. We magnify him. We approach the presence of God through the rent veil of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to God through him. And God spoke to us through Jesus. You'd not be saved today had Jesus not come. You'd not have a home if Jesus had not come. You never knew you were lost. You never knew that there was a heaven. You never knew that you could be saved had it not been for Jesus. Thank God. God spoke to us by Jesus. What did he say? He said, my dear friend, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was a sinless Son of God, my dear friend, and he died a sacrificial death for us. And Jesus, my dear friend, who gave his life for us, gives to us now life. He said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God spoke through his Son that all need to be saved. God spoke through his Son that nobody can save themselves. The Bible said that you and I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my dear friend, it's just a rational thought. It is a theological truth that if there had been any other way for a man to go to heaven, Jesus would not have come. And God said to the world in sending his Son Jesus, there's nobody else that'll save you. There's no other way you can be saved. If you don't have Jesus, you die and go to hell. But if you've got my Son, you get to go to heaven. My dear friend, God spoke to, and Jesus came. He was the voice of God incarnated in human flesh. And we worship him because through him, God spoke to us. But look a little further in this passage of scripture, and it says this in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Can I tell you, my dear friend, that God in the person of Jesus Christ owns everything? Jesus Christ owns everything. Everything belongs to Him. And my dear friend, the worlds belong to Him. This world belongs to Him. The universe belongs to Him. It is all His, my dear friend. And my dear friend, you and I, when we get saved, become an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that everything Jesus has got, you've got. Did you know that you own the moon, the sun, the stars? Did you know that you own this whole universe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And my dear friend, I don't have much. Many of you don't have much. And some of you are better off than others. But my dear friend, can I tell you, as a child of the King, you own everything Jesus owns. And my dear friend, if that ain't reason for you to worship Him, you might as well go back to the house and watch television. But thank God He's redeemed us. We'll worship Him because He's heir of all things, and He's made us through the sacrificial death on the cross. Join heirs with Him, and thank God for that. But notice a little further, He's telling these Jews, you understand something, that God spoke to us by His Son, and that He's heir of all things. And notice, by whom also He made the worlds. That's a plural word. Did you know that God's not surprised when the Hubble telescope finds another star or another planet? God's not surprised, because in the very beginning, Jesus made every one of them. In 1 John, it says, without Him was not anything made that was made. And you know what He did? He came to where I was. I'm talking about a nobody. I'm talking about somebody on their way to hell on a dirt road just north of here in Halifax County, North Carolina. The son of a dear lady who worked all of her life in a cotton mill. And listen, but God came to me, little barefooted boy, and spoke to my heart. I'm talking about the Jesus that made the worlds. I mean, He spoke everything to existence, and He came to where I was. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to come to where you were. But my dear friend, He made the worlds. And thank God, listen, He did all of that by His voice. And He spoke life into me when I trusted Him as Savior and as Lord. But notice a little further, if you will, please, in verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of the Father. He's the brightness of the glory of the Father. He's the revelation of the Father. Jesus said, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. My dear friend, Jesus Christ manifest in human flesh the love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the power of God, the authority of God. He was the brightness of the glory of God Himself. Thank God, and He is still. You know what? I've never seen that kind of glory of God. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to see it one of these days. You know why? Because in John 17, Jesus prayed a prayer, and here's what He said. Father, I pray they might all be where I am, that they might behold My glory. Thank God I've never seen it, but one of these days I will, because He loved me and He died on the cross. And I want to worship Him today and magnify His name. Listen. If you look at the news, everything's bad. If you hear people talk, everything's bad. But I want to tell you one thing. He is the brightness of the glory of God. And regardless of what happens, come hell or high water, thank God. Those who are saved, we'll see Him in His glory one of these days. And I want to worship Him now and magnify His name because of that. Look at verse 3. He is the express image of His person. He expressed to the world, the Lord, the God the Father, the love of the Father, the kindness, the power, the glory of the Father. He did all those things. But notice a little further. He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. It's what keeps this thing going. It's what keeps the sun rising and setting, the tides going in and out. It's what keeps all the planets in their orbits. He's the one who contains and sustains everything. The Bible said, in and Him we all live and move and have our being, and by Him all things consist. Thank God. Listen, He's worthy of our worship. Do you know that? He's the creator of all things. Hey, thank God for that. He's the express image of God. He's the brightness of His glory. By Him all things consist. We ought to worship Him. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. All those things are awesome. But look at verse 3 again. And it said this, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of throne. I want to tell you what, my dear friend, here's the great thing that I want to worship Him and praise Him about. To be a distant God who created everything is awesome. To be one who is the glory of God is unimaginable. But the fact, my dear friend, that by himself, he didn't delegate it. He didn't give that responsibility to anybody. He said by himself. He clothed himself in human flesh. He suffered the humiliation of a human body. He experienced thirst. He experienced pain. He was buffeted, bruised, and battered for my sin and for your sin. Who him own self? He did that for you. Thank God. I'm glad he created the world. I look at this beautiful scene. He created all the birds and their beautiful plumage and the miracle of flight. He created the mountains, the seas, and all those things. And I ought to just praise him for that. But my dear friend, when I think about the fact that by himself, he purged my sin. He died on the cross for me. I ought to worship him. Nothing is too great. And no sacrifice too difficult. No service too strenuous. No praise will suffice. But I want to magnify him today and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my sin. By himself he did that. Purged them, thank God. I love that word, purged. You know what it means? It means to remove forever and forever. Thank God, forever and ever, he purged my sin to remember against me no more. Thank God. Listen, he's the one who suffered and bled on that cross for me. He's the one who purged away my sin. And verse 3 further says this, he's now seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Thank God. Listen, he didn't sit down because he's tired. He didn't sit down because the job was too big. He sat down because it was finished. Praise God. He purchased redemption. And on that cross, when he said, it is finished, thank God he went home and sat down, waiting for all of it to come to fruition, for us to see it in time, what he's already done in eternity. Look, if you will, please, at verse 4. He said, he who I worship and you worship today is better than the angels. Thank God he's better than the angels. People have all kind of books written about angels and everything else. I'm not interested so much. They are here to help us, to minister to us. I don't want to give them too much attention, though, because I ought to keep my eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He is my rock. He is my refuge. He's my wisdom. He's my sanctification. He's my very present help in time of need. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And thank God, I don't want to attribute to an angel what he's doing. I just thank him that he's got them alongside to be a helper. But my dear friend, Jesus is better than the angels. And people get all excited about angels and talking about angels, books about angels, everything else. But my dear friend, you talk about Jesus, they sit there and they look like a knot on a log. I'll tell you, he's better than the angel, thank God. He's eternal. He's before the angels. He spoke those angels into existence. You know what they do in heaven? In heaven, my dear friend, those seraphims, they cover their face with one set of wings. They cover their feet with another set of wings. They fly across heaven and they don't say, I'm a good angel. They don't say, I'm a powerful angel. They don't say that at all. What they're saying in heaven is this, for the Lamb of God who's slain before the foundation of the world, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou art holy. Thank God, he's better than the angels because they were commanded in this scripture I just read to you to worship him. The angels have to worship him and to bow before him. He's better than the angels. But look at verse 5. For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Listen, he is the sinless Son of God that came to suffer and bleed and die for us. God Emmanuel, God in human flesh. Look at verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, watch, O God, is forever and ever. This Son, my dear friend, is God the Son. God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Father. And this is God. I'm worshiping Jesus who loved me and died for me, who purged my own sin. He is God. God incarnate human flesh. God clothed himself in human flesh and lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, resurrected victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's God. Thank God. I tell you, these kids around here just were awesome this week. They were awesome. I couldn't get over it. And it's just different than this year's been being. I thought things were getting worse. But boy, I believe God's working around here in these young people. I mean, when they played, when they sang, and we did all those actions that Wendy and all did, and it was great. And they were into it. I like to get into it myself. But when I'd start talking about Jesus, boy, this, it just got so quiet. They listened so good. All the teachers testified about how good they listened. Listen, the other day, Charles was talking to Clay, and they were talking about God and talking about the Lord. And in a house, something was said about him, about God and about the Son. So he said in the Old Testament, Daddy, they talked to Jesus. And Charles corrected him. He said, well, son, no, they didn't talk to Jesus in the Old Testament. They talked to God. And he said, well, Daddy, didn't you know that you can't talk to one without talking to the other? They're the same. God, hey, you can't talk to one without talking to the other. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's God. And I worship him today because he's God. And thank God for that. Notice in verse number 8 again, he said this. He said, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thank God. Listen, kingdoms rise and they'll go down. Kingdoms rise and they'll go down. Countries arise and they'll go down. But his kingdom is forever and forever. Can I tell you, you say, well, it looks to me like Brother Billy, like it's getting dark in the kingdom. Things are going down. No, we don't even see the big picture. I mean, listen, God, we had a great vacation in Bible school, and God saved, and thank God for that. It was awesome to me. But I tell you, God's doing that all the way around the world. There are places today where thousands of people are being saved, and they're having a real revival, and God's a moving. I'm telling you, God's not up there in heaven wringing his hand about what we're going to do now in 2015, what's going to happen. Oh, he's not even a bit worried about that. His kingdom is forever and forever. Thank God he's in control of everything, and nothing ever stop him. His throne is eternal. He rules in righteousness. He'll do right. I make mistakes. Our government makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes except for one. It says in this, he said, verse number 9, thou hast loved righteousness. He loved righteousness, and he rules in righteousness, and everything is right. It means he does everything just right. I don't understand why things happen like they do, but I guarantee it's just right. Everything he does is just right. Notice in verse number 12, and he says this, and he talks about the planets and the universe and how they're going to get old. Even they're going to get old. And he said, and as a vesture thou dost fold them up. Boy, listen, is that such a figure of speech? He spoke the stars into existence and all the universes that we can't even see yet. But there's coming a time, my dear friend, in the end of the age, when he'll just fold all that together up. My dear friend, he can gather up all the whole universe in his hand, and he can just fold it up and lay it aside, making way for a new heaven and a new earth. Thank God for me and you. Boy, that'll give you Holy Ghost bumps up and down your spine. It'll make you want to shout. And for this series over, I'm going to talk about expressing ourselves in worship, because some of you need to learn how. Amen. He saved you, and you're not going to die and go to hell and sit there and say, oh, that's good. Oh, no, 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 no. If you knew, my dear friend, that you were going to heaven and his kingdom had no end to it, and there's coming a time when he'll take the Milky Way and just fold it up like you do a T-shirt and tuck it away somewhere, and he'll speak a new heaven and a new earth into existence. You say, boy, that is something, praise God, to shout about. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. My dear friend, he's a changeless one. He says in verse 12, and as a vesture thou dost fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not tired. He's not weary. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You can depend on him. You can trust him. He's the changeless one. Notice further in verse 13. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Notice that little word, until. He didn't say if. He didn't say I'm going to try my best. He said, son, you sit right here. I'm going to make all of your enemies your footstool. Until. Not if. Not if I can make it work. Not if everything works like I got it planned. But it's going to happen. I want you to know, my dear friend, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And everything's right on time. Everything's right on schedule. And God's plan is to make all the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ his footstool. And he'll say in one of these days, not very far down the road, son, Why don't you go get your children? I love that song, don't you? Old Brad sings that song. He'll say to the son, son, it's ready now. Go get your children. And he'll go and rapture the church out. The Lord himself should ascend from here with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My dear friend, he said, son, you sit right here. Everything's on schedule. It's all working out. Oh, turn with me, please, in your Bible back to the book of Revelation. I want to show you. Go back in Revelation, please, in chapter number 4. And I'll begin the reading here for just another moment. Revelation chapter number 4, first of all. And it said this in verse number 9. And when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy? Worship is worth, worship, worship. And who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as he had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and as such as be in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and forever. Thank God, that's the end of the story. Thank God, here we are right now today to worship him who you'll get to worship for all eternity. I want you to know he is prevailing. He's going to prevail. And one of these days, the Father will say, it's done. It's done. And they'll worship him. All the angels of heaven will worship him. All the elders will worship him. All the saints of all the ages will worship him. Every creature in heaven, every creature in earth, everything that's ever been created will worship him who is worthy of our worship. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? And I want you this morning for just a few minutes, first of all, those of you who know him, to worship him. And that means it's worship. Hey, has he saved you? Or to worship him. Thank him. Thank him. Call his name. Call his name, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I worship you and adore you. And God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the first day of the week. I come into your presence with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. I magnify you and I glorify you. And Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for who you are. And God, I want to worship you forever and ever. Thy throne is established. You'll fold the heavens one day like a garment, but your throne will last forever and ever. Lord, I love you. Lord, I don't want to do anything to dishonor you. I don't want to do anything that would bring reproach on your name. And God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God this morning would please speak to heart. If there's a person here that doesn't know him, that I pray, God, they'd get saved. But God, I pray that your people this morning will really have an encounter with God and worship him and magnify him, and we'll magnify you and give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.